Feelings are just visitors. Let them come and go. And that is the thought for today. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's audio, we get some excellent tips on how to be more in touch with our feelings and emotions. Enjoy.
An enormous amount of trouble in the world, especially at work and in relationships, is caused by a peculiar phenomenon of our minds, a tendency to be, as we put it, out of touch with our feelings. When we first meet this idea, it sounds strange and even a bit insulting. How could we not know what we are feeling? Of course, we look from the outside like unified beings. We carry one name and sit in a compact physical container. The distances between different parts of us aren't so great. How then could we be so multiple as to have secrets from ourselves? But in reality, there are at least 2 distinct parts to mental life, a feeling self and an observer self. Sometimes the two are utterly aligned. Someone asks us what we feel like eating, and the communication between the two selves is clear and immediate. We don't even notice a lag. We simply answer salmon and avocado. At other points, it's far trickier. We're sitting on the sofa at home after a long day at work and are under the impression that we feel quite calm. But suddenly, an apparently minor remark from our partner arouses us to deep irritation. We stand up and start shouting about the unfairness of a host of issues we hadn't until just then been aware we even felt strongly about. Soon, we've got a crisis on our hands. Why is it so hard for the observing self to report accurately on feelings? Firstly, because we're afflicted by so many background ideas about the unacceptability of particular feelings. Across childhood, we have instilled in us, so subtly we don't even notice, strong notions about what are and are not permissible things to experience. Traditionally, this might have meant that boys were not allowed to acknowledge that they felt like crying, or that girls weren't allowed to entertain certain kinds of ambitions for fear of being unladylike. We might not have such obviously naive prohibitions today, but other equally powerful ones have taken their place. We may have picked up covert but forceful indications that no decent person, no one loved by their parents at least, could be enthusiastic about making money or unable to cope at work, tempted by an affair, or still upset over a breakup 3 years ago. Furthermore, despite the apparently sexually liberated spirit of the times, the lion's share of our sexual impulses remains impossible to avow. There is still a great deal we're not meant to feel in order to fit that most desirable of categories, a good boy or good girl. When difficult feelings do threaten to emerge, the observing self typically takes fright and looks away. Rather than produce an honest account of feelings, it may go numb or try to file a report that's more acceptable than true. I'm feeling very tired, instead of, I'm feeling you've let me down. I'm depressed, rather than I'm furious. That's absolutely disgusting, rather than I'm strangely turned on. Our problems are compounded by the way that many powerful feelings, especially of upset, envy, and frustration, can get kicked into action by apparently very trivial and seemingly nonsensical things in the outside world. For example, we might be thrown into paroxysms of envy we find no room to confess to when a friend mentions that a mutual acquaintance has been promoted. Or our partner may look away for 3.5 seconds before we've ended an explanation about how a tricky meeting at work went, and we experience seething indignation and wounded pride that we haven't got our lover's full attention. But we say nothing, because to own up to many feelings of upset involves acknowledging a humiliating degree of fragility. Yet feelings that haven't been reported don't and can't go away. They linger and spread their energy randomly to neighbouring issues. Envy comes out as spite. Anger over inattention comes out as a remark that the partner is looking rather fat at the moment. Though, of course, by the time that hurt has manifested itself as aggression, any chances of being comforted are clearly over. Feelings we haven't got a handle on wreak havoc. They buckle and strain the system. We develop pernicious tics, a facial twitch, impotence, an incapacity to work, alcoholism, a compulsion to look at porn. Most so-called addictions are at heart symptoms of insistent, difficult feelings that we haven't found any better way to address. How then might we come to be more skilled observers and correspondents of our feelings? Reading may have rather a large role to play. A great writer is, ideally, someone uncommonly patient about the curious, less discussed, apparently weirder things that float around in the human head. Another move is to ensure that we've allocated a lot of time to self-observation. It can look rather self-indulgent to ask for a few hours in the evening in which there's nothing more apparently demanding to do than sit and stare out of the window or around the bedroom with a pad and pen on one's lap. These so-called idle moments are when the observing self can finally catch up with feelings that might have been too shy, ashamed, or harassed to emerge in the rest of the day. They are like church bells we can make out only in the evening when the city traffic has died down. Failing to do this can, among other things, ruin our chances of getting to sleep. Insomnia is the feeling self's revenge for all the thoughts that haven't been properly catalogued in the day. Understanding the serious danger of a gap opening up between what we feel and what we're aware of brings another major benefit. We grasp that this issue will necessarily apply to other people too. Quite often, they'll be saying things which are not, in fact, in line with their true feelings. Mean things when they're feeling vulnerable, perhaps, or arrogant things when they're feeling small. And we'll identify that it's our duty to forgive them for not always managing to be reliable correspondents of their inner lives. It's not really sinister to think this way of others. It's a kindly move that gives us the energy to lend a second, more compassionate look at behaviour that might initially have appeared simply horribly off-putting. Feelings are frequently far from wonderful and often should not be followed. But we should accept that if we ignore, deny, or overlook feelings entirely, the price will always be higher and worse. They will exercise a powerful, malign, subterranean influence across the whole of our lives. One of the too often overlooked but key arts of living is to learn to devote ourselves to correctly labelling and repatriating our own and others' orphaned feelings.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.